Okay, we're moving on now to agenda paper seven. Wade, you had so much fun this morning, you decided to come back and play some more. Okay. Government grants.
Perfect. Yes, so agenda paper seven deals with the submission that we received relating to accounting for government grants. Very briefly, the background of the issue is that government made a payment to an entity to help fund its research and development project. At the end of the research phase, if the entity decides not to commercialize and exploit the results of the research program, the entity is not required to repay the amount it has received, but it does have to hand over the rights of the research to the government. In the event that it does decide to exploit the results of the research, the amount is repayable. A certain portion of the repayment is fixed and payable over a number of years, while the remaining portion is payable more as a percentage of revenue. And the amount repayable can be up to 200% of the original cash payment. So the submitter identified two diverse views that are being applied in practice on recording this payment at the time the payment is received. One view is that the loan should be treated as a forgivable loan when it's received, so you record a liability for the amount and go ahead with that. The other view was that it is a government grant when it's received, and it should be recorded in income at the time of receipt, and only when the entity decides to exploit the results of the research program is when it becomes payable, and that's when you record a liability. So we did outreach with national standard setters, regulators, and accounting firms, and the results are presented in the paper. A large number of respondents noted limited experience with these transactions, but we did get the sense that these payments could be common in some jurisdictions. A majority of the respondents also noted that they've seen these principally being accounted for as forgivable loans, although some have observed some the alternate view being applied as well. And we performed our analysis, which are presented in the paper, but at a very high level. When we first looked at it, we said whether it's a government grant or a forgivable loan, the standard requires there to be reasonable assurance in either case that you will either meet the terms of the forgiveness or you will meet the conditions of the grant. So we thought in either case there should not be a very significant difference in the timing of recognition of the amount in profit or loss. But when we actually looked at the fact pattern, we thought the analysis was probably a little more complicated and depends on the facts and circumstances of the arrangement, because in effect the government has made an investment in the entity and provided some sort of financing. So we thought the entity should first assess whether the government as a result of this gets any participation in the ownership, and if so, that might be scoped out of IS 20. And if it does not get participation in ownership, then we think it's more in the nature of a financing, and because it's with the government, we also thought that the entity should look at whether there are any favorable elements to the financing compared to what it would have received out in the market. If there is a favorable element, that should be treated similar to a below market loan, and the benefit from the below market portion would be accounted for in accordance with IS 20, and the remaining portion would be a loan that would be accounted for under IFRS 9, but it would also be a forgivable loan in the sense that it can be waived. So the guidance on forgivable loans would apply as well. And at the time there is reasonable assurance that the terms for forgiveness will be met, that's when you would take the amount into, that's when you would treat it as a government grant. So that was our analysis, and we think there is sufficient guidance in the standards to determine the appropriate accounting. And therefore, we are recommending that the committee does not take this issue onto its agenda. So my first question is, do you agree with our analysis and recommendation not to take this issue onto the agenda?
Martin?
Probably let me start with a question and then a discussion. In number 45, we say this loan should be accounted for under IFRS 9 until there is reasonable assurance that the R&D project will not be successful and the entity will abandon the project. So first, my question is on the end. Is it an end with the connection of an end? So the entity must have done the decision to abandon the project. Because, in general, for example, in some industries, the probability of success is very low. So, with a very low probability, I would also not start to capitalize development expenses. Do I have at least, I would suppose that that an entity should have a logical connection. So if I argue I'm not capable to capitalize development cost because the probability of success is too low, in a way that's also a kind of same measurement basis for that loan. And the question is, what exactly does this term mean? Reasonable assurance that the R&D project will not be successful. So imagine pharmaceutical company, only 5% of some of projects are successful. Is this a reasonable assurance that the R&D project will not be successful? And then the next question, when we have this end, and the entity will abandon, so is abandon the necessary criterion that I'm able to, well, not to consider the loan, or?
Well, I think in that sense, the standard really says there should be reasonable assurance that the loan will be forgiven. And in the fact pattern that we had, the terms for forgiveness were based on the success of the project and the entity abandoning the project.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way we looked at it. And as to what reasonable assurance would be down to a matter of judgment. So you would look at, really you would be looking at whether there's reasonable assurance that the loan will be forgiven.
So within the as an example, to be practical, within the pharmaceutical industry, this would mean from the beginning onwards, I have a forgivable loan. And then if I'm successful later on, I have to reverse my accounting. Because I've only a 5% probability of success.
Wouldn't the issue be one of contract? The government isn't going to give you the money without there being some stipulation in the contract that you have to send us a letter hereby notifying the government that we've given up. We're not going to complete. So isn't that...
That was my question.
The contract, the thing that triggers it?
Is it important that I have to give up the project, or is the probability of success the decisive criterion? And also with regard to the measurement of my loan, I guess the probability of success is a relevant one. And if I have a very low probability of success from the beginning onwards, how to account for my loan? Because if I have a low probability of success, I assume that I also have to account for the loan based on a probability-weighted outcome, and not at the nominal amount.
Sue?
So that was my concern. Yep.
Just a geeky FI observation. If you're in IFRS 9, surely you need to then meet the derecognition criteria in 9 for a liability to get back out again. And 9 says it can be when and only when it's extinguished, so it has to be discharged, cancelled, or expires, which sounds like a higher hurdle than what we've got here. So just a thought in terms of the interaction with the requirements in 9, if you're in there, you've got to get back out again. If it says here, this loan should be accounted for under 9 until, I'm just saying, if you thought you were in 9 to get back out again, I think you'll have to meet the derecognition criteria.
But, sorry, I was just saying, but on that, I mean, if the government's
turned around and you've given notice to say you're not intending to continue, you don't think that would meet the requirements?
I don't know. Do you think that's discharged, cancelled, expired?
I think it's cancelled. I think it's expired. Because, I mean, the terms of the loan would be that if you give the government notice, you're done.
Yeah.
You have no obligation anymore to repay it.
Yeah, but Bruce, in that case, you've actually given that notification to the
yes.
government, whereas I think Martin was asking, do I need to complete that step, or is it sufficient just to have an expectation?
I was just asking about
okay.
what the hurdle is.
Then I agree with you. I think you have to have given it in order to meet that hurdle.
Yeah, that's
quite a high hurdle.
I had two issues. One was more or less the letter I sent to the government. Okay, next thing is about measurement. How do I measure this forgivable loan? And if I measure it, say, probability weighted, then from the beginning onwards of my research project, if the probability to fail is that high, I come up with a very low measurement.
That does question the credibility of the politician who made you the loan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not in Africa.
Andrew?
I more or less agree with the proposed direction from the staff here. I think the facts and circumstances, terms and conditions of these arrangements varies widely. Some judgment's going to be required, but from what I've seen of this and similar fact patterns, I don't think they're all that widespread, and I think the predominant practice is to account for them as forgivable loans. And I very much agree with the argument in the staff paper that actually the timing of profit and loss recognition is not going to vary too much between the two views, because you've got to reach the point of reasonable assurance. You're going to keep the money before the credit's going to appear in P&L under either view. On the tentative agenda decision itself, I just had a couple of comments. Now, I think the discussion about whether or not the government's taking an ownership interest in the entity is a sort of valid step, but I saw nothing in the fact pattern to indicate that was the case, so that seemed like something of an overcomplication. On the question of the applicability of the guidance in IAS 20 on off-market government loans, soft loans from the government, the fact that this is forgivable is itself going to be an off-market characteristic. So I'm not quite sure if we go through that step, if we kind of attribute the forgiveness condition to that part of the test, or if we kind of look at the interest rate for an otherwise non-forgivable loan, we identify the government grant portion that way and then move into IFRS 9. So I think that needs a bit more analysis as to the order in which we apply the different steps in IAS 20.
Okay, let's just go around the room. Bruce?
Whoever you wish to connect to, followed by the pound key.
Hang on a minute. I can't turn your microphone on until we've...
Welcome to the conference.
Activate you.
There she is.
Mm-hmm. She can speak. No, you just knocked off. No, there she is. She can speak.
Escape running. Main page. Okay. All right, Bruce.
Okay, thanks. Just most of my general comments in terms of it, I actually agreed with the staff's recommendation. I mean, the one thing to me that was quite a driving factor around that is somewhere along the line, there's some sort of commercial compulsion in my mind. I mean, if you're entering into this type of agreement and you're a commercial entity, you must believe, and I accept how small that there's small success factors in certain industries, but you must believe somewhere along the line that this is something you're going to do. So I think that I'd agree with that. On the question of measurement, to me, once you're in IFRS 9, then you just need to follow the measurement issues in IFRS 9. And I accept that there may be some challenges, but I think we need to, you know, I don't think we're going to find anything on that. My third comment was just in terms of, and Andrew picked up on the same, I also got worried that we're suddenly starting to pick up a whole lot of peripheral issues around whether they're separate equity interests, and now, of course, whether it's a below market loan. I kind of just felt those weren't really addressing the issue. And I was worried that I'm worried we're going to start getting more questions about that than it's actually adding to the solution. So my suggestion was, I don't think it necessarily led to... I mean, I think those are overriding questions you'd have to ask regardless, right, in any situation. So I probably wouldn't have put them in.
Carl?
Thanks. I agree with staff's proposal. I think it's a very straightforward issue for me, and there is sufficient guidance in the literature.
John?
Yeah, generally in agreement with the staff proposal. I do think that you do have to decide whether it's a forgivable loan or not, because a forgivable loan, the derecognition requirements in IAS 20 are different than IFRS 9, because you recognize it as a government grant when there's reasonable assurance that you're going to meet the conditions, which is not the derecognition criteria in IFRS 9. So it seems to me that the decision has to be made whether this is a forgivable loan or this is actually a non-forgivable loan. And I would have thought it's a non-forgivable loan because there's conditions actually attached. You actually have to transfer the IP. It might not be worth anything from an accountant's point of view, but if the company decides not to exploit it, it has to actually transfer ownership of it to the government. So this seems to me to be a normal financial arrangement, which is in the scope of IFRS 9, and then you would see whether it's actually at market. If it's not at market, there's a grant component. If it's at market, it's just an IFRS 9 liability.
Pop? Yeah, I'm similar, John. I do also support the direction that the staff is going on this. I do view this as a loan. I don't have enough experience in this. I do have a question about whether this is within IFRS 9 or not, whether this is more like a non-recourse loan, which I would have thought then would be in an IFRS 9, because I do believe at the end they do have to transfer something. They have to transfer cash, or they have to transfer the rights to the research and development. So they have an obligation. Now, if it's more like non-recourse, it's, you know, you make you have to deliver the cash, or if you default, then you deliver the research and development. That I think would have been IFRS 9. I think it's more interesting if the facts are company has a free choice of whether to deliver the cash or the rights to the research. Obviously, they're going to choose the one that's the least valuable, because I'm not sure that one would technically be an IFRS 9.
But that would be the case for any non-recourse loan, like even on a mortgage on a property, for example.
Well, I think in a true non-recourse loan, you have to default first before you deliver the property. And I'm not sure if that is the case in these.
Tony?
Yeah, again, I think I'm broadly supportive of the direction. I think you do need to work through the analysis, starting by considering whether it's a forgivable loan. If it's not a forgivable loan, then is it a loan at market? Because the difference would be a government grant. The bit that I think is the most challenging is the point that Martin made. Because reasonable assurance isn't defined anywhere, and I'm not sure why you couldn't have reasonable assurance before you got to the point at which you decided to abandon the project. I'm not sure that we ought to be getting into how you make that decision in an agenda decision. There is always going to be judgment, but like Martin, I'm not sure that I'd have to get to the point of saying I'm not doing any more work to have reasonable assurance that I'm going to be able to keep whatever is the grant component. And so if there was a tweak, it would be that there is judgment needed to decide when there is reasonable assurance. Because I wouldn't want to imply that it was at a specific point in any arrangement.
Marie?
I think we agree with the agenda decision, and we think it's helpful. It has an SMR submission, so I think we've met from time to time. We also agree that maybe it should be helpful for us just to make more elements regarding the reasonable assurance, or either saying that it's only judgment, or if people agree on something more precise, like something. But it's a key element of the analysis, so I think it's worth mentioning something about that in the agenda decision.
Reinhardt?
Like others, I'm broadly supportive of the staff direction, but what I think is consistent with the comments some others have made, I would take out the discussion of government participation and below market rate loans, because that wasn't the question that was asked. And I think, as others have said, those are considerations you'd have to apply in any circumstance, and I would focus solely on whether this is a forgivable loan or not.
Point taken. Young Tzu?
I just make a brief comment. I support the staff decision. You know, if we don't recognize it as a liability, we have to recognize it as a revenue, which simply does not seem to be right to me, because we don't know whether it's going to be successful or not. So my point is simply, you know, it's not revenue, it should be liability, supportive of the staff conclusion.
Stay long, and then I'll ask Bonnie to come in.
I generally agree with the staff analysis and recommendation, given the such arrangements are fact specific. I just one thing that was told that there are specific SEC guidance on the US scale on such scheme. I'm not sure if the staff is looking at
specific
SEC guidance on.
SEC guidance.
Yeah, and US GAAP on such a scheme.
Yes, we did talk to the US FASB counterparts, and they did say that there is no real guidance in US GAAP. There is some guidance on research and development expenditure in general US GAAP, so we did look at that as well. But we did not particularly, because they don't have particular guidance on government grants, we did not really explore that avenue.
Bonnie?
For one thing, I would agree that there is no guidance under U.S. GAAP for this kind of item. So, actually, we've looked to IFRS before in the absence of any guidance. I do agree with the staff's conclusions and where they've gotten to.
Okay. That seems to be the consensus of the group. Subject to some slimming, eliminating a couple of things from the agenda decision. You'll see those when you see update. So, anybody object to that?
What are we going to slim?
We're going to eliminate the interest in the company, mm-hmm. And there was one other.
It was the below market.
The below market.